Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. What a joy it is to be able to come to you on this another Monday as we begin another week of broadcasting the truth from the biblical perspective and from the constitutional perspective over the Stand in the Gap Today Radio Network. And along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. And Sam is not with us today. He is back from Ukraine, but he has laryngitis. And as I understand it, about the best thing that he can do is squeak. And David, as you can tell, I have a little bit of laryngitis myself. My voice hasn't completely gone away. I don't have the squeaking problem. You know, to squeak, it to me, that means it's a very high sound. My sound is a very low sound, so I guess I've got the opposite of Sam. Sam's squeaking, and I'm down in the bass clef, so, you know, I guess we're just going to defer it to you. Dave, it's been great knowing you. I'll see you later. Bye.
Gary, you better not do that, my friend. But anyway, hey, listen, brother, we've sung some quartet stuff before in the past, you and my brother, and several other, you know, folks, myself included. You could do the bass line today for sure.
I could do the bass line today. There's no doubt about that. And let me put it this way. I'm not going to say everything I could say here today. We better get on with the program.
Here you go.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us, and we're looking forward to another great week of broadcasting here on the Stand in the Gap Radio program. I would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because there you can correspond with us and you can learn about some of the other programs that we produce here at the American Pastors Network. We encourage you to do that. Well, Dave, I want to begin by asking you a question here today. And that is, have you gotten over Hillary Clinton yet? Thursday, why she testified for 11 hours before this special Benghazi Select Committee. And she talked and she beat around some bushes, and the Republicans, hit her straight on, and the Democrats supported her. I mean, it was quite a thing. And there are people now who are coming out and saying that there really has been no new material brought forth. There are those who are saying there is not even a smoking gun as a result of all that which took place on Thursday. And I'm wondering that since you've had the weekend to contemplate this and to think about this, do you still have a great love for Hillary Clinton, and are you ready to vote for her when she runs for the presidency next year?
Well, Gary, I wasn't prepared to vote for her before the Benghazi testimony that she gave last Thursday. I'm certainly not prepared to vote for her after her testimony at the Benghazi committee hearing. Gary, here's the thing. The Democrats obviously have tried to circle the wagon around her and go to her defense and say there was no smoking gun located in her testimony on Thursday. But, Gary, here's the problem. And there was an interview that Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, who was on that committee, did over the weekend, which I thought was an outstanding point, and that is this. He brought up to her himself during the questioning the fact that as the attack was occurring that night, Mrs. Clinton emailed two people. She emailed her daughter, Chelsea. She also emailed the Egyptian prime minister, and in both of those emails, she said the following, and I'm quoting, "This was not the result of a video, but rather an attack by an Al-Qaeda-type group." She went on and in one of the two emails said this was a planned attack, not a protest. So the question that Jim Jordan asked her on Thursday, why would you say this the night of the attack and then for several weeks after the attack when you were in front of the American people, you blamed it on a video. The president blamed it on a video. Susan Rice blamed it on a video. How could you do that? Why would you do that when you knew better within minutes of the attack starting that it was a planned attack? So, Gary, In North Carolina, I'm not sure what they call this in Pennsylvania, but I do know what they call it in North Carolina. It's called an L-I-E. It's called a lie. She lied and did so with impunity the day of the attack, and she sat there at that committee on Thursday, and she lied with impunity again. So, Gary, listen, nothing has changed. There's more issues about which to be concerned than there were before she gave her testimony.
You know, I had somebody ask me over the weekend, why did she lie? Why did they come out and say that it was the matter of the video and not really an attack by Al-Qaeda? And, you know, most people say that they did it simply because of the fact that they wanted to shore up the election with Barack Obama. But I think it was my wife that asked me, well, do you think that Barack Obama would have lost the election based upon that situation? And I really don't think that he would have, because I think that there are so many people who love Barack Obama that no matter what would come out about him or against him, people are going to close their eyes. And, you know, I think that he would have been reelected anyway. I don't know about you. We've never really talked about that. But do you think that if it would come out that what happened there was an attack by Al-Qaeda and Barack Obama would have been a man and would have stood up and said this was a terrorist attack and we are going to do what we can to get to the bottom of this and find out who did it and deal with it, which he did not do. But do you think had he done that, that would have affected the outcome of the election?
Gary, I think if he had stood up and admitted the truth that it was an Al-Qaeda type attack and he had not tried to cover and use the video excuse, I think it would have helped him win the election. It would not have hurt him because it would have demonstrated leadership. This narrative that those on the left have advanced throughout this whole thing, that they were doing it merely, or maybe even some conservatives say this, they were doing it to try to protect the president's reelection chances. I don't think that had really anything to do with it at all. Gary, I think they lied and blamed it on a video because they wanted to cover for what they were doing over there.
That's what I was going to ask. What were they covering up?
Well, Gary, they were involved in shipping arms over to the rebels, the Syrian rebels, to try to take down Bashar al-Assad. It's obvious the president wanted that done. He did it in Egypt. He brought down a secular Muslim there in Mubarak in Egypt. He did the same thing in Libya with Gaddafi. And you've got another secular Muslim there in Syria, and the president wants him deposed. I have no doubt that his motivation for doing that in all three cases is to get that rabid religious element, the Ayatollahs in power, because that is that with which he is more comfortable. And so I think that's what he was trying to do there. And he didn't want the American people to know what we were doing. That's very sinister. And, Gary, I'm going to say this because we have a friend who has kind of led us along this path and given us information. I think the reason they let Chris Stevens and those other three heroic Americans die by themselves trying to defend that compound there was because dead men can tell no tales. And Chris Stevens knew exactly what the administration was doing, and they didn't want him talking.
Well, you know, this is absolutely true, and I agree with that 100%. And, you know, this could also be one of the reasons why, Brother Dave, that people do not want to stand against Hillary Clinton in any way, shape, or form these days, particularly on the Democratic side, because you can trace it back. You can trace it back for 25 years, 30 years, that many people who have opposed the Clintons are pushing up daisies today, you know? Let me say it. I think they are very, very wicked people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Stand in the Gap right after these messages. Don't go away.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, October 26, 1774, the Provincial Congress of Massachusetts reorganized their defense, with one-third of their regiment being Minutemen. They were known as such because they would be ready to fight at a minute's notice. The Congress charged the Minutemen, "You are placed by Providence in the post of honor because it is the post of danger. The eyes not only of North America and the whole British Empire, but all of Europe are upon you. Let us be solicitous that nothing unbecoming of our characters as Americans, as citizens and Christians, be justly chargeable to us."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I do want to remind you that if you would like to participate in this program, you may do so by calling us at 1-877-667-1180. That's a toll-free number, 1-877-667-1180, or in the Philadelphia area, that would be 610-539-8255. That is 610-539-8255. David, before we go on, I just want to drop back to Hillary Clinton for a moment, if I may. You know, I really have to work hard, Brother Dave, on having the right attitude toward Hillary Clinton. You know, from the perspective of not only what she does in office and has done in office and would probably do in office if she ever became the president of the United States, but just because of the type of a person that she is. When I look at Hillary Clinton, as I mentioned a moment ago before we took the break, over the years, many people who have opposed the Clintons on one way, shape, or form are dead today. And, you know, I realize there's a lot of smoking guns there. People really have not, at least knowingly, connected all of the dots. However, it's interesting to know, and I think, Dave, you know what I'm referring to here. Over the weekend, one of our informants indicated to us that he has reasonable belief. He believes that the Democrats really do have something on Hillary, and they just really don't know how to bring it out, or they want to protect it from coming out. And so there are issues there that even the Democratic people are concerned about. But as it relates to Hillary, it's true that those who oppose her, those who oppose the Clintons, always find themselves in big trouble one way, shape, or form. But my concern is, I just cannot in any way, shape, or form, Brother Dave, in my wildest imagination, I cannot imagine what a White House would look like with Hillary Clinton in it. I mean, there are four words that come to my mind that she really messes up on. She misses altogether, as a matter of fact. Those words are truth, responsibility, integrity, and character. Think about that. Truth, responsibility, integrity, and character. Her history is that she has a very, very hard time telling the truth. Her history shows that she runs away from personal responsibility. Oh, yes, I realize on this Benghazi matter, she says, I'm taking responsibility. Well, Dave, if she would have taken responsibility, we wouldn't even be talking about Benghazi today. And then as it relates to her integrity, I think that there is a whole lot to question there, and her character is the character of a I'm not going to say it on public radio, but I really have problems with her, and I think that, you know, those of us who stand for biblical truth and constitutional values must really do all we can, I think, to share with others how crooked, how unrighteous, how wicked this woman, Hillary Clinton, is. Now, maybe I've said enough. God bless you, my friend. It's up to you to finish it.
Well, Gary, I'm going to add a few phrases to what you've already said. To watch over the weekend as the Democrats circle the wagons around this woman that, Gary, is not even qualified to be dog catcher, much less president of the United States, is absolutely stunning to me. How they could sell their collective soul for a selfish, snarky, lying, impetuously arrogant, traitorous, gratingly unbecoming woman like Hillary Clinton. I don't understand it, Gary. There is nothing appealing about her personally, and I'm not trying to be unkind. There is certainly nothing appealing about her from a character standpoint or from a moral standpoint. This woman is almost the embodiment of evil. And Gary, if she were to be elected president of the United States, it would not only be a continuation of the decline, the degradation of the United States of America in every way that has been so precipitously advanced by Barack Obama. It would be probably, Gary, the final nail in the proverbial coffin of the United States of America. If we can't do better than that as far as a leader, understanding how God deals with nations based on their leaders, then, Gary, we're in trouble. The fact of the matter is this, we do have other good choices this time. And so we need to do the due diligence. We need to look into the backgrounds of the people that are running. We need to find out where they stand on issues. And we need to vote as biblically as we possibly can. And Gary, I'm going to say it unequivocally, Hillary Clinton is not even on the table as a possible candidate of a possibility, rather, of anyone that could be biblically voted on.
Well, you know, that's true. And you know, I was appalled to see the way some of the folks responded to this hearing on Thursday. Who was it? There was someone on the Democratic side who actually said, I want to thank Trey Gowdy for bringing Hillary before his committee because she showed herself presidential. Did you pick that up over the weekend?
Gary, I did, and I'm trying to figure out what they were watching. You know, it was certainly different than what I was watching. The other one that was real stunning to me was the Washington State congressman who took his entire time to question Hillary but did not question. He just made statements in support of her and chastised Trey Gowdy and the entire committee for even having Gary the audacity. Think of this, the audacity to force her at that point when the man said this. It had been 9 hours. To force her to endure 9 hours of questioning. Gary, when he said that, I about came out of my chair because I thought, well, where was she whenever Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty and Chris Stevens were enduring over 12 hours of barrage and attack, wave after wave, coming from these terrorists? Where was Hillary when they were enduring that? Surely she can endure 9 hours of questioning if they stood up and did an incredibly heroic job defending a compound without any help coming from Mrs. Clinton's State Department.
And, you know, we've got reports that she went, during the breaks in that particular hearing, she went over to the Democratic side and thanked them for having her back. You know, it was a farce, and I think I said that on the program on Friday, that, you know, after watching a big part of that on Thursday, I walked away and almost said, what's the use, David? What is the use? Was there time wasted? Because, you know, unless Trey Gowdy and his committee can really batten down the hatches and go forth with this, it could end up in the long run being a waste of time, particularly if indeed she is not prosecuted, if she is not indicted, and if the truth of Benghazi never comes out, it's almost like it's been a waste of time. And so, therefore, my challenge to those on that particular committee, particularly the Republicans, they better batten down the hatches and do a whole lot more to bring out the truth about this woman, because she is the devil in human's clothing.
Well, Gary, here's the deal. There were 5,000 pages of emails from Chris Stevens that were just surrendered to Trey Gowdy's committee right before Hillary gave her testimony. So all of that has got to be processed. Also, the following people are going to be testifying before the committee, and I'm talking about heavyweight people like General David Petraeus, Susan Rice, the one who went out there and perpetuated the video lie on 5 Sunday talk shows, and several others. I think one of the former members of the Department of Defense is going to be testifying as well. So, Gary, there's about 20 additional people that have to give testimony. So this thing is not over. It is not over by any means, though the Democrats want to make everybody think it's over. They want it to be done after Hillary, survived her 11-hour ordeal last Thursday. Gary, it's not over. And you know, we got word again over the weekend, Gary, from our friend that said if she is not indicted and if she is not prosecuted, there will be a wholesale revolt from the FBI and from the CIA and other of our national security related entities, because they know the truth about what Hillary did and what she did not do. They know exactly the same thing about the president. So she should be indicted. She should be prosecuted. And if she's not, Gary, we're going to have more problems on our hand coming from the intel community and the security apparatus of the United States than we've ever imagined. We need to pray the truth comes out. If the truth comes out, Gary, she will face charges for treason.
If the truth comes out, and you know, we really do need to pray that the truth comes out. I think of Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And David, I kind of think that as it relates to Hillary Clinton and this mess that she is in, this mess that she's led us in, I believe we all as Christians need to claim Jeremiah 33:3 and pray that God brings out the truth. Because if she enters into the front door of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., as the President of the United States of America, this nation is more doomed than it has ever been in its history. She's no good. She does not deserve that office. And I think that as Christians, we need to pray her out of that. We need to pray her away from that. We need to pray that the truth comes out. And we just need to pray that God will raise up a righteous standard in a president for this next term who is going to have the ability to bring this nation back to truth and righteousness and back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more right after this on Stand in the Gap Today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. The World Health Organization saying ham, hot dogs, and other processed meats can boost the chance for developing colon, stomach, and other cancers. Reaction from David Warner with the National Pork Producers Council.
This is the same agency that is classified as carcinogenic sunlight, alcoholic beverages, being a barber.
But the World Health Organization insisting there is strong scientific evidence pointing to a link.
Fox Radio Simon Owen in London. At least 180 deaths reported. A magnitude 7.5 earthquake hitting northern Afghanistan, rattling India and neighboring Pakistan as well, where earthquakes are common.
This then continued with the same intensity for 30 seconds and 45 seconds.
Global Radio News reporter Kasim Nauman in Islamabad. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The city of Atlanta, Georgia, made an amazing and chilling admission in court last week, saying in effect that Christian employees who speak about their faith at work or even anywhere outside their church or home can face dismissal. That admission came in the court hearing for Fire Chief Kelvin J. Cochran, who was fired from that job after he wrote a Bible study book on his own time and gave it to other Christians that he knew. An openly homosexual city council member somehow got a copy and called for the chief's head. But Chief Cochran is standing up for the faith and for liberty. And you can come hear his amazing testimony at our Friends of the Family banquet, along with our keynote speaker, Eric Metaxas, on Friday, October 30th in Hershey. Details are at dinnerwiththefamily.org, or you can call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And again, we want to remind you that Sam Rohr, even though he is home from Ukraine and had a very good time over there, and even though we were expecting him to be with us on the program today, he has a bit of laryngitis and says at the best he talks in a squeak. And I'm here to tell you that I've got laryngitis to a degree, but I'm talking in the bass clef. So I guess, Dave, he could be the first tenor and I could be the bass, and it'd have to be up to you to sing second tenor and baritone, I suppose. But we could maybe have a quartet if we really wanted to work on this hard here today in the program. You know that?
Well, if we brought Russ aboard and he could fill in one of the parts, I can cover the other one.
Russ covers everything that we need covered. And he's our engineer at the station, WYFL, in Philadelphia, ladies and gentlemen. He's the FYL, I'm sorry, FYL. He talks into our ear. He tells us what to say. Anything we say, we're just like Hillary. We're not responsible. It's what Russ tells us. Right, Dave?
You know what, Gary? We joke about that off air. We text back and forth, and Russ says he's the autocorrect. And he is that, and he gets inside our phones and inside our head. But he does an admirable job. But the deal is this. If he can sing one of the parts, we're good to go.
That's right. Just what do you say about yourself, Russ? David, he's not saying anything. You got to pray for this man. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome back. We want to shift gears a little bit. And one of the issues that has been out there over the last years is the issue of the attack on Christianity. And sometimes it's referred to as the war on Christianity. And there are people who are saying that would be those of the liberal bent. Well, there is no war against Christianity in America today. And, of course, David, you know, as we are approaching Christmas, we're going to once again be hearing the ACLU and the groups like that saying that schools can't sing Christmas songs or songs that mention Jesus Christ or whatever the case may be. And yet we've got these folks on the left who are saying there is no war against Christmas. There's no war against Christianity. And yet it seems like every day when we turn around, we see that battle is out there. And, you know, you mentioned the other day a situation off air. We were talking about it, of a situation that took place down in Morganton, North Carolina. A young lady from your particular church who got in trouble just because of the fact that she bowed her head to pray. And, you know, I think in order to build what we're going to be talking about during this particular segment, why don't you just bring our listeners up to date with that and let them see where that is as we talk about this war against Christianity that we're all facing today.
Well, Gary, I'm not going to mention any names because this is an ongoing situation in the Morganton area. But, yes, a young lady from our church and her friend about a week ago, maybe thereabouts, week and a half ago, bowed their heads at the cafeteria table at their public school just to quietly thank the Lord for their meal. Gary, we've learned since the initial situation occurred that the one who protested their prayer happens to be a young man who is an Egyptian Muslim. He is a transfer student to this area of North Carolina, and so he came over to them after he saw them pray and said, "I'm offended by what you just did." And they said, "You know, what are you talking about? All we did was thank God for our food." And he said to them, "Well, I don't believe in your God." And then he proceeded to go to the administrator's office. As I understand it, the administrator called I think both young ladies in. But certainly the young lady that attends our church was called in, and I think her friend joined her as well, and they were told, "You're not to pray like that anymore because you're offending someone." Well, Gary, of course, obviously she came to her youth director, which is the youth director of our home church. Our youth director told our pastor about it. They prayed with the young lady, encouraged her to continue her courageous stand and continue to exercise her First Amendment religious right to pray. And some people in the community, Gary, found out about it. I think there was a legal entity that found out about it. There were several, I think a politician or two that found out about it. Some families found out about it. And they made their way to the school principal's office to protest what she had said to the students. And as the situation stands right now, Gary, and again, I'm going to be a little bit, unclear. I'm not going to be real specific about this, but there is a looming action that could be faced by the principal of the school for doing what she did in violating the First Amendment rights of these two young ladies. But Gary, this is just one of many cases that are out there where Christians are being persecuted. Front and center in the news again today is Coach Joe Kennedy from Bremerton High School. Right now, Gary, he's on the front page of the Fox News website. He has received a 3-page letter from the Bremerton School District telling him, if you do what you did last Friday night at that homecoming game, you take a knee and you pray, or if you use any religious terminology in your motivational speeches to your football team, either at halftime, before the game, at the end of the game, you are facing being fired. Now, Gary, that is absolutely over the top that any Christian should face these kind of repercussions for just exercising their faith. But that's where we are in America.
Well, that's where we are. And, you know, another occasion that we all heard about over the last couple of days is the situation in the Syracuse, New York area, where a fellow by the name of Dante Turow, who is the quarterback of his particular football team, ran 73 yards to score a touchdown. And all that he did was just basically, you know, put his finger up in the air. He said what he wanted to do was to give honor and glory to God for what God did and for what God allowed him to do. And when he did that, the referee threw the flag and charged him for taunting his opponents simply because of the fact that he was praising God. And I saw that video, David, over and over and over again. You know, honestly, if you weren't watching it closely, you would not have seen it. The fact that the ref threw the flag up in the air and rendered that 15-yard penalty drew more attention to it than Dante actually pointing his finger up to the Lord and giving God the glory and giving God the praise. And, you know, we are in a situation in America today where this battle on Christianity is out there. It's coming to us from every side. And, you know, it's high time that Christians wake up. It's also high time that pastors begin to prepare their congregations for this battle, that is, this war against Christianity. And, David, I'm wondering if you might want to share with our listeners here in a moment what pastors can do to help prepare their congregation for this battle that we're up against. I mean, we've talked before about what Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 says. We ought to obey God rather than man. We've talked about civil disobedience and all of this. But that's only one aspect of it. Only one aspect of it. You know, there's a situation in our hometown here where a young lady took her Bible to school. It was on National Bible Day. And, of course, the teacher allowed her to do that. But when somebody asked her about the Bible, she was not allowed to tell another student what the Bible was all about. The teacher warned her not to do that. How in the world have we gotten to this place in America today? And what can pastors do to prepare their people to fight this war that we're up against?
Well, Gary, let me say this. Have we lost our collective minds in the United States of America? When a presidential candidate or when a vice president of the United States can be heard over an open mic using the F word in the ear of the president, and that is not a problem. People don't seem to have an issue with that. But a young high school football player merely takes his index finger and points it heavenward when he crosses the end line and scores a touchdown, and that is almost a crime. Gary, what in the world has happened to us? This world has been turned upside down. Good is now being called evil. Evil is being called good. And, Gary, what can pastors do to prepare their people? Number one, Gary, we need to understand unequivocally that the Bible teaches this. There does come a time when we say, I will obey God rather than man, and when it comes to the exercise of my religious liberty and the exercise of my faith, the communication of my faith, not just in the four walls of my home or in the four walls of my church, but the communication of my faith in the public marketplace, as Peter and John said, I will obey God rather than men. We need to get that as the foundation. We will not back across this line. Beyond that, Gary, what pastors need to be doing is acquainting their people thoroughly with both the biblical basis for this as well as historical examples of the fact that Christians in time past, Gary, have faced intense persecution. I have no doubt more of that is coming. But there is a way, and I'm sure we can talk about this in more detail in the next segment, there's a way pastors can train their people and prepare their people to stand against this. In our church right now, we are developing a culture impact team that will prepare our people to stand up, let their voice be heard, not only resist, but turn around some of these things that are coming against God's people.
Well, we will talk about that, but I remind everybody that, you know, not only is this a war against Christianity, but it's a war against the United States Constitution. Because the United States Constitution has given us this First Amendment, we do have the freedom of speech. We do have the freedom of religion. And so we need to battle this both on the biblical as well as the constitutional perspective. We'll talk more about that when we come back in our final edition. All right, final.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
PA Leadership Charter School, lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
In Isaiah chapter 31, the prophet says, "Woe to them who trust in horses and chariots and military strength to defend them when evil arises and war is in the air." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As Russia invades the Middle East, over 100 conflicts are raging around the world, Israel is under siege, and America is continually threatened by its enemies, Isaiah's advice for Israel then is God's warning for us today. The strength of horses will fail. Military equipment will fail. The great armies of the world will fail. When God, the King of Kings, comes to judge with righteousness, all human strength will fail. The warning is clear. If we put our trust in man and machines, we'll lose. The promise is also clear. If we put our trust in Him, He'll be our unfailing strength and shield. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, don't trust in man and lose. Trust in God and win.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with David Gistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr is home from the Ukraine, but he, of course, is not well. He's lost his voice. He's got laryngitis, and so you might want to pray for his recovery. Hopefully, he'll be able to be back with us on the program tomorrow. But, David, before we went into the break, we were talking about this war against Christianity that's taking place in the nation today. And, you know, it's amazing to me, Brother Dave, when we look around, how we see that in such a rapid rate, this nation of ours is going further and further and further to the left. And, of course, from my perspective, as it relates to this particular context in which we're talking, when I say we are going further and further to the left, I mean we are getting further and further and further away from God, away from biblical values, and away from our Constitution. And because of that, we are in this battle. And we're in a battle for truth. We are in a battle for integrity. We are in a battle for that which is right. We are in a battle for righteousness. And we know the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And obviously, as we look around, we can see that this nation is going the way of sinfulness, the way of unrighteousness. And my question to you, Brother Dave, as we also want to continue to talk about what pastors can do to equip and prepare their congregation for this battle. One of the questions I have to you is, do you believe that as Christians we have not been fulfilling our responsibility of salt and light as we should have been doing in the last years? Have we invited this battle? Have we invited this war because of our indifference, because of our passivity, and just sitting back and watching the nation run down without standing for truth?
Gary, without a doubt, we have not done our job. You know, Gary, we are citizens of two countries. We're citizens of heaven and God's kingdom. We're citizens of this earth. We have a divine obligation to both. Gary, I believe this with all my heart. We ought to be kingdom men and kingdom women in the United States of America, and we're battling for righteousness and truth in the spiritual realm. We're battling for constitutional truth on the national level. And when kingdom men and women get up in the morning, if we're doing our job, the devil ought to say, oh, no, he's up. She's up. And he ought to run and cower in fear, because we're going to do three things, Gary, that we have not done for a long time. And that is, number one, we're going to stand up. We're going to get up off our collective duffs and quit being lazy and quit hiding behind incorrect theological positions. And, Gary, you know what I'm talking about, because we've had this conversation many, many times. God's sovereign, God's sovereign, God's sovereign. He is sovereign. But that doesn't minimize our responsibility to stand up and engage the culture in which we live. So stand up. Number two, show up. Show up. Gary, one of the things our church is doing when we start this culture impact team is to get a group of people in our church, some of whom have been paying attention for a long time to what's going on, others that they're relatively new to observing what's going on in the country, but they love God passionately, they love the Word, they understand what's happening in our world, and they're willing to show up at a moment's notice, whether it be in Raleigh, North Carolina, whether it be in Altoona, Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., when there is a critical issue that is on the table and righteousness is being attacked, God's people are going to be prepared from our church to show up and engage. And so stand up, show up, and then number three, Gary, speak up. We need to speak up articulately, intelligently. We need to know the issues from a biblical perspective, from a constitutional perspective, and we need to be just what our founders and what the early residents and occupants of this country after the founding era were, and that is, Gary, they were good citizens. they weren't like you see on Waters World, people that don't have a clue what's going on in their world. All their
Isn't that a shame?
Having enough money to put gas in their car and then make their way to some restaurant and eat a big meal and then go home, crash for the weekend. No, we need to know what's going on in our world. We need to be engaged, and we need to be able to articulately express what God has to say, what the Constitution has to say, and get involved in the process. Gary, if we do, praying all along the path, seeking God's face in humble petition, admitting where we failed, Gary, I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I'd be doing something else other than being an evangelist. I believe God will hear our prayer according to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and heal our land.
Well, we know that he will. I mean, that's his promise. And, we've often talked about revival. Will God send another revival into our land? Well, I fully believe, David, theologically, I fully believe that God wants to see another revival. But the problem of it is, those of us who are Christians aren't keeping our end of the bargain, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And then, you've got the verse that Sam Rohr uses a lot, which really is the foundation for the title of this program, Stand in the Gap. And that is Ezekiel 22:30, where God says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." And, as you were talking about the importance of standing up, showing up, and speaking up, my mind went back to Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, because that's what it's all about. And God's looking for people today to stand up just as he did back then. And, we have a great responsibility as pastors and as preachers to equip, to encourage, and to edify our congregation, our listeners, to do this very thing. And Dave, in my opinion, we need to start doing that yesterday, not next week.
I agree, Gary. I couldn't agree more. If now, Gary, watching what we're watching emerge all across the United States of America, this incredibly incessant attack against Christians, against anything that is Christian, trying to silence, absolutely silence the voice of believers in Jesus Christ, declare us not only second-class citizens, but, Gary, declare us breakers of the law. Gary, if this does not motivate God's men to stand up, if it does not motivate God's church to stand up, then, Gary, nothing will. We sit on the very precipice, Gary. I think I said to you and maybe to Sam, I know I sat down in the office with our pastor here a couple of weeks ago, and we were just talking about all these issues and not knowing this situation was going to come up with a young lady in our church. But, Gary, I said to our pastor, look, we have probably 2 to 5 years to turn this thing around in God's power and in God's strength. And if we don't, then in 2 to 5 years, the religious liberty that we have enjoyed for 239 years in this nation, the religious liberty that we have taken for granted, the religious liberty that was passed on like a baton being handed to us by our forebears, and that which we should hand to the next generation, if we don't turn it around in 2 to 5 years, we've lost it forever.
Well, we have indeed. And the time is now. For such a time as this, we are all here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's fulfill our responsibility as salt and light that the Lord Jesus Christ expects us to fulfill. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on today's edition of Stand in the Gap. The Lord willing, we will be back in about 23 hours, and so I invite you to stay close to your radio so that in 23 hours you can turn it on again. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we do know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.